Let's sing this little hymn. Lord, remember your promises in our lives, concerning our lives, Father. Lord, may you be gracious unto us and fulfill those promises in our lives, Master. Lord Jesus, that is the very purpose why you call us, oh Father. Lord, may you help us, Lord. Lord Jesus, we cannot help ourselves, Lord. It takes you to help us, Lord, and give us the victory, Master. Help each and every one of us, Lord Jesus. Give us your divine grace, O living God. Lord, all that you promise in your word, may you fulfill them in our lives, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Master, for the services of the morning, the Sunday school, and the main service, O God. We are grateful unto thee for all that you accomplished, O God, in the midst of your people. Thank you, Master, for sound gospel. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. We are thankful. We cannot hear this in the denomination. It only takes among the bride to hear things like this, Master, because your word is perfect, O living God. We are thankful unto thee, all that you have accomplished in our lives in these services this morning. And Lord, may they be permanent in our lives, O loving Savior, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, just Master, that we have, Master, lined it out that we should have more evening service, Lord. If not, oh, what you have done in our lives, O living God, is mighty. Oh Jehovah, we just pray that you heard, Lord, to what you have done in our life, Master, this evening, and speak to our hearts, oh God. Lord Jesus, open our heart, our eyes, O living God, to see your word. Open our ears to hear from thee. Lord, Master, open our ears of understanding. Lord Jesus, may your word, O living God, as we look at what your servant the prophet has said, Lord Jesus, life come by your word, Master. O living God, may you do, Master, great and wonderful things once again this evening in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help us, righteous eternal Father, have your way in our lives, Father. Lord, at the end of this service, may we have every cause to glorify thy great only name, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You are welcome to the evening service. And like Pastor said, thank you for coming to the service. May the Lord, may the riches of God's blessing be our portion in Jesus Christ's name. So sometimes, listening to 2x4 preachers like we thank you for your patience. No man can say anything worth saying except God help him. We are just trusting that this is the word that the Lord has given to his servant the prophet to present unto the bride. And that is what we are trusting, that when we say what he said, God will accomplish his purpose in the midst of his people. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to the same scripture that we have been reading, hoping to lay this sermon to rest this evening. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26 and 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. May the Lord add his blessing to reading and hearing of his perfect word. Please don't close your Bible. You can please be seated. Let's also go to Ezekiel, the same Ezekiel chapter 1. Because Brabran referred to it, and I don't want us to open the Bible in the middle of the sermon. Maybe let's just read it, and we'll refer to it when the time comes. That is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15. Let's read from verse 15 to 21. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the heart by the living creatures, with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their walls was like unto the color of a bear, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their walk was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their wings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their knees were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the heart, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures, of the living creature, was in the wheels. May the Lord have his blessing once again. Okay, let this verse 21. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his perfect word. Yeah, as I said, we try to round up this evening on this series of sermon Brother Branham preached. While our people so toss about, that is the one he preached in his local assembly. The other two are preached in other local assemblies. Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? And the other one is, why some people can't keep the victory? Praise the Lord. Where we stop, we have dwelt a little in that part. I want to read it, and I will want to pick it out of the other two sermons. Paragraph 30. Paragraph 30 of why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live the Christian life? Paragraph 30 of the sermon. The B part of paragraph 30. If a man could shout, if a man could see visions, if a man could do any of these other things that he can do without divine love, they are lost. That's right. Christ is in the heart. See? So don't be deceived by signs and evidences. There is all kind of signs. The Bible said, in the last days, false prophets will rise up and show such signs. It will deceive the very elect, if possible. Come back to the Bible signs. Praise the Lord. So, Brown is talking about divine love there. You see, the divine love is written in capital D. Divine love. I want to read this evening, so relax. But if you want to sleep, sorry, you might miss some things. So try to be as much as alert and active. I'm reading. Okay? Now let's go to this other sermon. What are people so tossed about? Paragraph 190. Why are people so tossed about? Paragraph 190. Okay. Brother, let's get people inside the veil. That's right. You want to know a little secret? Listen. You want to know a little secret? That's how I conquered wild animals. That's how I conquered diseases, is by love. The love of God constrained us to do such a thing. Come in the veil. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read the other one. That is why some people can't keep the victory. Paragraph 65. Why some people can't keep the victory. 65. Okay. Why? If you've been a real child of God, why? The old things is passed away. You are yoked up. And oh, it is such a pleasure to pack the yoke of Christ with him. Know that you are yoked together as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And you are joint heirs with him in heaven. He is easy. Now, what do we do when this comes into us? When this love comes in, I believe I was preaching here the other night how that love is projected. How that the body seems light. How that love casts out fear. Praise the Lord. Brother Abraham, looking at what Brother Abraham said here, Brother Abraham is referring to the sermons he preached. When love projects, sovereign grace takes over. If you look at that sermon, it was in that sermon when Brother Abraham was talking about what happened when the maniac came to the pulpit, wanted to kill him in the pulpit. Instead, Brother Abraham said, instead of hating him, he said, something happened. And he felt that, this is a man like me. And something like this. He has wife, and he has children that he loves and love him. So why will he be against me if not the devil? That was when the grace of God came down. And he said that while he was charging, he was speaking to against Brother Abraham that you green grace, you green snake in the green grass, I will break all the bones in your body. And Brother Abraham said, you see, he pulls saliva on Brother Abraham's face. If there was fighting or hatred in Brother Abraham, what happened would not have happened. Because of the divine love in his heart, that was when, he said, the grace of God took over. And he said, because, not him saying it, he said, he find himself saying, because you have challenged the Spirit of God, you will fall before me this evening. And when the man wanted to hit Brother Abraham, that was when the Spirit of the Lord and him, there was battle between the evil spirit in him and the Spirit of the Lord. And he fell down. Praise the Lord. Brother said, that is how, you want to know the secret? That is how I conquered wild animals. He told us about the bull also, in that same sermon. The bull that would have killed him. It was the same thing. And the honest that will have also attacked him and killed him. May God help us. Okay. So having read that, let's now continue from here. Now, Brother Abraham said, this, my spirit, you know, God said he will do three things. He said that he will take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. One. Then he said he will give us a new spirit. Then he said, I will put my spirit within you. Those are the three things. I think the other time we put it on the board. Then Brother Abraham said, let me read paragraph 31. Why is it so hard for people to live a Christian life? Paragraph 31. Okay. Brother Abraham said, okay. The B part of paragraph 31. It's just like the mainspring in a famous watch. When that mainspring set in the middle of the watch, it controls every movement of that watch. And that is what's the matter, friends. Now, I hope you see this. And I am not saying it to be trying to twist or be indifferent. I'm only saying it because I know that someday, I will stand in judgment with you. You see, if the Holy Spirit is in the middle of your spirit, and that watch spring makes all the rest of the movement just tick, just exactly to the place, keeping perfect time. When the Holy Spirit is in the middle of your spirit, it makes every action of the Holy Spirit in you tick off just exactly according to God's timepiece, the Bible. Right. You don't lie. You don't steal. You got associate. You and you lovely. And you got peace, joy, and long suffering, goodness, meekness, patience. Why? all the fruit of the Spirit just stick right with that mainspring. See what I mean? Now, it's the mainspring that does it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. It isn't your church that does it. It isn't your pastor that does it. It isn't your shouting that does it. It isn't your speaking in tongues that does it. It isn't your healing service that does it. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. God's Holy Spirit in the middle of your new spirit. It makes the whole church operate just exactly one big bundle of love. Praise the Lord. Then Abraham came to the scripture, the second scripture we read in Ezekiel chapter 1. In this other sermon. Let's look at it. Yeah. Why some people can't keep the victory. Okay. That's paragraph 54. Paragraph 54. You are there. Very good. Listen, this is what Brother Abraham is saying here.
I don't know whether. Just a minute.
Okay. This is okay. Let me. Paragraph 54. Now you know, Ezekiel saw it again. And this same prophet, he saw it as a wheel in the middle of a wheel, turning up in the air. Now, first, okay, the tire, then the rim, then the spoke, and then the hub. This is the tire. This is the spoke. These are the spoke. The spoke are nine. And this is the hub or the rib. Or the rib.
Okay.
Let's listen to the prophet. The tire, then the rim, then the spokes, and then the hub. Now, when Luther started, the just shall live by faith, justification. He put the tire around it. Yes, all right. Wasn't much of a will yet. All right. Then here along comes Methodist with sanctification. Pull the rim around it. And then along comes Pentecost. Sanctification, the Luther or Methodist. The Luther taught justification, which was a tire on the outside. And the rim then was the Methodist with sanctification. And the Pentecostals come along and they put a spoke in it. You know the tire of bicycle? How many have seen our young ones? I don't know whether, how many have seen bicycle? Our young ones, I don't know whether they see bicycles. Young ones, I mean, of course, the elderly ones will have seen the bicycle. In a bicycle, you have the tire. That's what Abraham is referring to. You have the tire, you have the hub or the rim in the middle, and you have the spokes. The spokes here are nine. Abraham will tell us what the spokes means. Okay, let's continue like that. The Pentecostal come along and they put a spoke in it, speaking in tongues. Well, let me tell you, brother, it don't consist just of that. That's the reason we are bumping down the road the way we have. There is not one spoke in there, but there is nine spiritual gifts in that church. Not just one. Them is all right. The tires all right. The rim all right. The spokes all right. But like the color man eating the watermelon, there is more of it. And that is what I mean today. There is more of it. There is nine spiritual spokes in this wheel. And it turns by the wheel in the middle of the wheel, all connected with the hub. Oh, I feel religious. I sure do. Yes, brother. The good thing, no matter what we are doing, how you are doing it, you are fighting it here because God done said, I will restore, saith the Lord. It's got to come. Now, the hub is where it all turns. Praise the Lord. The hub, this hub, this is where everything turns. This is the one that is actually connected to the bicycle. So that is the thing that turns the others. Okay? The hub is where it all turns from. And the mainspring is where all the watch works from. That mainspring, it is it right up. Keep every blessing just exactly. Your gift of tongues, wonderful. Justification by faith, wonderful. Sanctification, fine. Speaking in tongues, wonderful. Interpretation, fine. Messages from God, wonderful. Prophecy, fine. Brother, if it hasn't got no hope in it, what's it going to amount to? Your spoke will get across one another. They will cross up, fuse, fight, isolate, and chop and tear on up and tear on up each other. That's what's the matter. We need the mainspring. What good does it do to have the little bitty spring and the little bitty gadget in here and the winding spring and the alarm and the faces and the big hand and all these things if there isn't something in there to make it operate? I believe the Pentecostal church has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe the rest of you do too. What claim it? I believe your speaking in tongues is right. I believe that your prophecy is right. I will go with you. Being a Baptist, I believe it. Sure, I do. But there is one thing, brother, is not keeping the right kind of time. That's what I'm trying to say. So it takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come into the human heart there to make the thing run right. The love of God. God is love. And unless each one of these gifts is put right in the center of love, it will become selfish and indifferent, pull itself off and isolate itself and cross over and fuse and strew. But when it is anchored right in the middle of love, it will fellowship everywhere. And that's right. That's exactly what we need. The church is dying for love. Brother. So this hub is what Barbara referred to be the Holy Spirit. This is the justification according to Barbara. These nine spiritual gifts. And it is the hope that keep all of them together. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue. Now let's go to Let's go to why is it that so many Christian find it so hard to live the Christian life? Okay. Paragraph 43.
All right.
You know, we were saying that all these three, a new heart, a new spirit, and my spirit, God is the one that will do all the three. No man can do it by himself. It has to take God. Actually, God said, I will give it. I will do it. Praise the Lord. Okay, paragraph 43. I'm a Presbyterian. All right, go ahead. See? That's all right. I don't mind you being a Presbyterian. God don't either. But if you just got that mainspring in there, that's the main thing. That's the main thing. If you have, you won't feel that way about it. I was asking a doctor the other day, or a few months ago. I said, doctor, I want to ask you something. Is it true that I renew my life each time I eat? Said, yes, sir. I said, then, is it true that there is 16 elements of the heart in my body? I'm made hope of 16 elements. That's right. Is where is the calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, and all 16 different elements go together and it makes you. Now, I want to ask you, I said, when every time I eat them, I renew my life. He said, that's right. I said, while is it? I'm eating beans, potato, and meat, and bread, just like I did when I was 16 years old. Every time I eat, I got bigger and stronger. And now, every time I eat, I'm getting older and weaker. If you are pouring water out of a jug into a glass, and it gets half full, and then more you pour, the further down the water goes. Tell me by science how that is done. I hope you understand. Of course, we are message readers. But for the sake of the children, if we put a jug of water here, and I'm pouring water inside, and it goes to a point that instead of, while I'm pouring water, the water is filling up, and it got to a point which are whatever happens. As I'm pouring, the water is not filling up again. The water is going down. How do we explain that? Whereas, as I'm pouring, if the jug does not have hole, it's supposed to fill up. But there is no hole in the jug. Yet I'm pouring and the water is still going down at a point. What is the meaning? What is the reason for that? Let's hear what Brother Bram said. Every time I eat, okay, now, let me see. And now, every time I eat, I'm getting older and weaker. If you are pouring water out of a jug into a glass, and it gets half full, and then more you pour, the further down the water goes. Tell me by science how that is done. It cannot be explained only by God's word. Praise the Lord. What is it? Is what? An appointment. It's an appointment. That is why when we go, Rabbi said around 23 or 25, that is when we get the strongest. After that, there is nothing you can do to the body. It's going down. You can become big in stature or whatever, but you are dying after 25. The life is going after 25 years of age. And one day, the owner of the life will call for it because it is an appointment. May God help us. What is it? It's an appointment, and you are going to meet it. That's right. It was appointed unto man once to die, from death to judgment, and death set into you when you was about 22 to 25. And no matter how good you treat yourself, how much malfactor is put, new leaves and a little thing on, it won't do one bit of good, sister. You are going right back to that appointment. That is right. You might wear a tuxedo and shun a man with a pair of overall horn, but my brother, you are just a little bit of potash and calcium mixed together. That's all. And you know that, made out of the same kind of material. Then look, when you took a notion, your mother did, to have a little boy in her home, her and daddy, or a little girl, did they call up the doctor and say, "Doctor, I want you to scrape up off the heart some potash and calcium and some petroleum, and each day come and make him with brown eyes and brown hair and make it wavy and fish little seas with the long ear and the manicure or whatever it is?" Did he do it that way? No, sir. I hope we get what the prophet is saying. When daddy and mommy got married and they wanted to have us as their offspring, did they go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, you see this, we know that our body is made out of potash, calcium, and the rest of them. Just scrape on the heart, combine calcium with potash and petroleum and the rest of them, and make me a little boy. And put eyes, put brown or blue eyes on this child. I want him to have this. I want his face to be like this. I want him to have or her to have long hair. I want him to be short. I want him to be tall." Was that the way it was done? No, sir. No, sir. He couldn't even do it if he wanted to. "Though you are the dust of the earth, yet God made you and is the only one that can make you." Praise the Lord. The same God who made us, who we are as a human being, it has to take the same God to make us spiritually. It's not by any effort we can put into it. It's not by any righteousness we can put into it. It's not by anything we can put into it as far as human being is concerned. Whether spiritually or physically, God has to bring us here. And he that brought us here has a purpose while he's bringing us here. Praise the Lord. That is why, brethren, you see, let this rest at the back of our mind. That one, who brought me here? Who called me to come to this message? You see, one thing certain and 100% sure about is this. If it is God who called us, brethren, God cannot, like Pastor used to say, God does not have abandoned projects. God cannot abandon you on the way. If he's the one that called, because the Bible says that all things work out together for good for those that are the called according to his purpose. If God has called us, if he has called us according to his purpose, he has a reason why he called us. And if he has a reason why he called us, he will surely bring that purpose while he called us to manifestation. Praise the Lord. That is what, let that settle in our mind. Is it God who called you? If it is God who called you, brethren, if it is God who called you, you have a right to God. Amen. We have a right to God that, "Lord, you brought me here. You called me. You brought me to this message. Yeah, and it is in your word. You promised this. Lord, remember me and fulfill your promise in my life." Rabbi thought that we should plead the promise of God. That is one thing that, you see, God cannot go contrary to his will. He cannot go contrary to his plan. He cannot go contrary to his purpose. May God help us. So it has to take God to bring us here. And like our pastor used to say, God who made us a female, he has a purpose for making us a female. Is it that God make you a female, a tall female? There is a purpose for it. Is it a short female? There is a purpose for it. You see, do you have long hair? Yeah, God is God who gave you. That you gave it to yourself. If you don't have too much long hair, that is the way God made you. If you are light in complexion, God made you like that. If you are dark in complexion, God made you like that. But where it is bad is when we try to tell God that what you have done, I don't like it. The way you made me, I don't like it. That is when it is bad. The way you made me, I don't like it. You don't appreciate the way God made you. And you want to remake yourself. May God have mercy on us. Okay, let's continue. Yet God made you and is the only one that can make you. Are we following Brother Abraham? How does he do it? Through the food gene. Where will the food come from? The heart. Now, just a minute. Now, all you Presbyterians, Baptists, Pentecostals, say still just a minute and listen to this. All you that is so stuck on your denominations and how well you can do this or what a melodious voice you've got, and you are going to sing in the choir, be careful you don't wobble in hell. Did we hear that? Notice, watch now. Why is it then? If I'm going to live physically, I have to eat, and the food that I eat turns into blood cell. Let's listen attentively. Blah has the purpose of bringing this thing. The food that I eat turns to what? Blood cell. Is a mysterious something that they can't take that food, and no other way can they turn it into blood cell. Have you ever heard that scientists have taken the food you eat, grind it in the machine, and turn it to blood cell? Have you ever heard of it? They can't do it. Though the same food that they cannot turn to blood cell, our body will process the food and turn into blood. But scientists cannot take that food, combine it with chemical, and turn it to blood. See the mystery of life? You see, no matter how scientific we want to be in this world, there are some things we cannot beat. No matter how scientific, you can't beat God. If God has, that is why God is God. You see, that is why, that is one thing. If God has given Satan the power to create, Satan will have beaten God. But God did not give that ability to Satan. That is why up to today, I don't care what they do. They can chrome, they can do everything, they can make robots and the rest of them. But they cannot make a one human being. Sir? Ah, thank you, sir. He said, not even grass. They can't make it. It's not given to Satan to create. If it has been given to Satan to create, scientists will do it. They will create human beings and do exploit with that. But God did not give that to them. Okay, let's continue. Mercy. So, if I'm going to live physically, I have to eat. And the food that I eat turn into blood cell. Is a mysterious something that they can't take that food, and no other way can they turn it into blood cell. Only God does that. beating in your body develops, they can't get a machinery nor nothing else. Why? The blood cell got life in it. That blood cell, it has life in it. Let's continue. Because of our time, this time is going. Oh, okay, sorry. The blood cell has life in it. And they can't produce life. They can't produce life. Notice now. Then, every day if I live, I have to live by dead substance. Are you following? I have to live by dead substance. Something has to die so I can live. If I eat beef, the cow die. If I eat mutton, the sheep die. If I eat fish, the fish died. If I eat bread, the wheat died. If I eat potatoes, the potato died. And the only way that I can live is by what? Dead substance. By a new life. The Son of God gave his life that it might come back on you. If something doesn't die, you do not live. And if the physical live by dead substance, what about the spiritual? What about the spirit within you? Something has to die so you could live again. Church, not an organization, not a group of people, but the Son of God died, and that mainspring alone is how God takes his church on. Not by shaking hands, you might dress better, or whatever more, but you live by dead substance. You might belong to a better church, or what you call a better church. You might be a nice lady, not by your intellectual, but by the spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. If it has to take, like you were talking, physically and spiritually, it has to take a dead substance for us to live physically. Because the meat we eat, something died. That is why the vegetarians are wrong. They say they are vegetarians. They don't like killing things, killing animals to eat meat. But they are killing vegetables. Yes, according to what Barbara said, they are killing vegetables. Yes, sir. Vegetable itself has life. So for you to be alive, something has to die for you to live. So whether vegetable or meat, God gave them to us to eat. And when God gave them to us to eat so that we can have blood cell and strength and the rest of them to live healthy. Deborah Brown said, in the same vein, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to come to the earth to die so that we can live. That is how God made it possible for us to have my spirit within our new spirit. Praise the Lord. So, all is in the hands of God. The way we came here as human beings, as boys and girls, men and women, the way God made us, it has to take God to bring us here. And spiritually too, it has to take God to make up his sons and his daughters. There is no other way. And that same God, if it is God that can, is the only one that can do all these things, then we have a right to him as his sons and his daughter to go to him to ask him, because he said we should ask. Praise the Lord. So everything boils down to God. It is only in his hand we can, or through him we can have life. Praise the Lord. So I'm happy. It's not yet 4. I'm closing everything. At least today, I think I'll make up some time I've taken. So God be brethren. See, from the beginning to this point, we can see that God is the one who made the promise. He said he's the one who will do the three. And we see Abraham is making, bringing it, narrowing it down to even our existence as human beings. That it takes God to bring us here. The same God has to come again to die for us so that we can live. So that God has made everything, he has given, made everything possible for us to come the way he wants us to come by the Holy Ghost. So all lays in his hand. And as sons and daughters of God, we've got to, it now lays in our hands to go back to him. Oh God, thou who made me, thou who brought me, thou who made me to believe this message, finish your work in my life. Like Pastor was praying before we enter. You see, it is our soul that God wants to work upon, not our emotions. Our emotions are good. You see, when we are talking about nine spiritual gifts, Baba said that is in the local church. That of praise in the local church. But when it comes to the Spirit of God living his life, that has to do with, God has to work that in our lives. May God help us. Let's go to God. Having heard all these things, Abraham has made it clear to us how these things can come. It is God and God alone to give it to us. And the Bible said that it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is why he came, so that we can come to him. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to come to him to ask. So if we don't ask, if he asks us to ask and we don't ask, then the fault is ours. But we got to ask God. And he's always gracious to his children that he has called. Let's commit ourselves unto him.
Jesus. Shall we pray? And that is what we have found our prophet always do, requesting the people who have a need to lift up their hands up to God while a word of prayer is offered. Father, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity given to us to come again and sit on the same table that you have prepared for us. The prophet said, those are the materials that the bride of Christ have need of to dress themselves with. Lord, hands are up everywhere. You are the only one that can make us to be what you want us to be. You can make a lump of clay a vessel of honor, the same lump of clay a vessel of dishonor. You are the only one that decides that. That is why I always ask, when Nicodemus was asking Jesus, can I enter the second time I'll be born when I'm old? I say, I forgot how he entered the first time. Father, it may look mysterious. It may look very, very dicey. But you are the one who knows how to put these things together. We are your hands, O God, hands that are raised up. You know the request behind those hands. You have asked us to ask and we shall receive. You said, if we find, if we know, it shall be open unto us. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. At this hour we are asking, may we receive in the name of Jesus God. We are knocking. May the door be open unto us in the name of Jesus Christ. We are seeking for one thing or the other. Lord, may we find in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is the closing sermon, O God. We thank you for the Sunday school, the morning service, this closing sermon. We have spent almost the entire day in your presence again tonight. On this day, rather, Lord, you have furthered your work in our individual lives. You have healed the sick in our midst. We believe you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You have refilled those already filled. You are taking us to higher ground. Lord, we have gotten moratory faith in us. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. Lord Jesus, soon, the hour we arrive, we believe it to go back to our homes. Lord Jesus, today is the beginning of the week. Tomorrow, activities will start. As soon as we go to school, workers will go to their places of work, businessmen and women will go to their places of business. They are going to be travelers among us, whether by land, by sea, or by air. Father, wherever we are, we ask that your presence will go with us, Lord, and direct each step we take in life. Where the enemy comes in like a flood, in whichever form that the testimony of our sister gave. Oh, gracious Father, we trust you, O God. Whenever the enemy set traps for us, may you always be there to deliver, O God, to set free, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like that song we normally sing, that was us come. The tempter's power is broken. May you always be there for us, Lord. Thank you, our Father. So when we dismiss, we'll be going back to our homes by different means. By whichever means we are going home, may you go with us, O God. Protect us from all dangers, from all evils, from all wicked plans of the enemy. Thank you, our Master, for your servants that you have used throughout today in all the nations of the world to stand before the redeemed, to speak unto them as you have ordained them unto do. It's their responsibility. Father, we just want to thank you that because of doing it, the virtue that has led them, may you replenish them, oh Father. Thank you, righteous Lord. Blessed be thy holy name. We are grateful. We appreciate you. May your name be praised, Lord. It's our prayers. Lord, if it be pleasing unto you, we'll still be here. By Wednesday, you will gather us again in our number for the midweek meeting. Until then, oh God, our family altars at home, our personal consecration, everything that we do, we look unto you to be our help. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Well, I think I need to bring this information to you because we know in the midweek, it's not everybody that come on Sunday that you so have the privilege to be in the midweek. The missionary pastor of the, forgotten the name of the church in Bakatari now, have requested that I should go to Bakatari with him on Sunday. Just pray along with me. It is the same message that we preach here. We preach any other place. We do the best we can to see the help we can render unto them. Amen. Just pray along with us that the Lord will help us to fill them with this same alfalfa that have been given unto us at this end time. Praise be to God. Lord, sometimes people look at a congregation is very small. Do you know what the Bible says about a congregation? You don't know? Pardon? Fear not, the two flock is fine, but what the Bible actually talks about congregation is we are two or three. It's a congregation. We are two or three are gathered together in my name. You say, I will be there. Hello? That is why the Bible do refer to sometimes the church in Brother Sam's house. Praise God. The church in your house, you, your wife, you are part of that church. You are the church. The prophet told us the church is not the building. And they know that. The church is the called out. If your wife and you are called out, you are in your house, you are part of the church Jesus is talking about. Hello? May God help us. Shake one another and say shalom. Shalom, my brother. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my precious brother. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. God bless you. The devil doesn't like it. But whether I like it or not, we will do the needful. We will do what God asks us to do. We will obey our master. Feel so much better. I feel so much better.